He said, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. And if I go to heaven, if I have eternal life, I will have to keep the commandments. And in Matthew 19 and 16, a man came to Christ and said, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And Christ said, if thou would enter into life, keep the commandments. And there's nothing of as much importance to us as the commandments of God. John tells us in 1 John 2 and 6, hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Let's make a note of that. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Then he said, whoso keepeth my word in him verily is the love of God perfected, and hereby we know that we are in him. If we know that we are in him, we know we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We know we have every spiritual blessing, but all spiritual blessings are conditional upon our doing the will of God. You remember Peter said in 2 Peter the 1st chapter, besides this, giving all diligence, add your faith virtue. Now, how many of us make a note of that and become sure that we have added to our faith virtue? And a virtue knowledge, and a knowledge temperance, and a temperance patience, and a patience godliness, and a godliness brotherly kindness, and a brotherly kindness charity. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful, and every barren unfruitful branch will be cut off and cast away. And when Christ said, every branch in me that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, and they bear more fruit. When he said, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit, and so shall he be my disciple. He teaches us that we can't be barren unfruitful and reach heaven and enjoy eternal life. But he said, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. And then he said, if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Now notice that if you do these things, ye shall never fall, and thus shall be supplied in you an abundant entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now last night I quoted two passages with some commands of God in them. The first one is 1 Thessalonians 4:11-12, that you study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. I stressed the fact last night that we could work with our hands and not work as God commanded us, and we would not have the promise contained in this chapter. And we showed last night the four reasons why every man should work. And these ought to be taught children, because the Bible said, train a child in the way it should go, and when it goes old, it will not depart from it. And Paul said, surely be a parent to the Lord, for this arise, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment of the promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long in the earth. And so we are to study to be quiet, and then be quiet. We are to study to our own business. There are a great many things that are to be done that is not the business of the Christian to do. It's not my business to punish your children. It's not your business to punish my children. It's not our business to punish criminals, prosecute them, and punish them. That's not our business. Our business is to save the lost. Christ said, the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. One time he asked a man, who made me a judge? That wasn't his business. And you and I ought to make sure now that we are doing the thing that is the business of the Christian. And then he said, work with your hand, but he didn't stop. As we commanded you. And when we turn to the Bible and learn, we are to work for four reasons. First, because we require something to eat and wear, and to do to every person, to provide for himself, herself, that which they eat and wear. And children ought to be taught that their little hands were given them that they might work and help provide the comforts and necessities of life. Then we're to work because it's our duty to provide for those who are dependent upon us. And then we're to work to give to those that have need. And I listen. Every one of us is to work to have something to give to support the gospel. Now, my friend, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I know from Bible study and from much observation that when people think they have to die, the first thing they think of is to pray and someone pray for them. Now, it'd be no good to pray when we come to die if we have not done God's will. We have example after example in the Bible where men prayed when they were not in harmony with God's will, and God did not hear them until they became in harmony with God's will. Then we have cases where men prayed and asked things contrary to God's will, and they were not answered. We have one remarkable case in the Bible where a religious man, a man who had prayed always, and I take it all of his life, had given much alms to feed the people, was just and devout, and feared God, and was a good man. And God sent an angel to him from heaven and told him to send out to Peter because there was something in God's will this man had not done. And when the rich young man came to Christ and said, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? The answer came back, Keep the commandments. And he said, Which one? He told him and said, What lack I yet? Now, the most serious question that I can ask myself, as old as I am, is what lack, if anything, I yet? And the most serious thing you can ask is what lack I yet? Now, a great many good people are going to be lost because they do not work. No man can be a Christian who is able to work. No woman can be a Christian who is able to work. No boy, no girl can be a Christian who is able to work that neglects or refuse to work with our hands, because God's will is that we work with our hands. Well, there's other work to do. In 2 Timothy 2 and 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And there's something to do every day in obedience to that command. There's work to be done. For instance, God said in Hebrews 3, 12, 13, 14, Take heed lest there be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief. Now suppose we ask ourselves the question, just how much attention do I pay to that statement? I take heed lest there be in any one of you, and that means that I'm to watch out all the time after all my brethren and sisters with whom I come in contact, lest there is in them an evil heart of unbelief in departing the living God. Well, that's to you, and it's to me and to all of us. Now, remember, Christ said, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And then Paul said in Philippians 2:12, Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And when we come to die, if we have not worked, it'll do no good to pray unless we can persuade God to let us live until we can work. Because he said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, a man does not have to work to become saved from past sin. There's no work in becoming a Christian except the work that God and the preacher do. A man believes with his heart, repents him in his heart, confesses with his mouth, and somebody lays him down and covers him up, baptizes him, and that's salvation by grace. And a man does that to be saved. There's no work in that. But when a man does that, he immediately becomes a servant of God. Paul said, You have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine, which will deliver you, being then made free from sin and become servant of righteousness. I asked you to go home last night and read Matthew 25 on the lesson of the parable of talents, and I wonder today how many did that. How many took sufficient interest in themselves to read that and get the fact that you and I have something to do or be lost as we become God's church. And I ask you to read the second and third chapters of Revelation. I wonder how many read it. Seven times in that chapter, God said, I know thy works. And seven times he said, He that overcometh, we must not only work, we must overcome our weakness and our difficulties if we go to heaven, if we have eternal life. And then again, my friend, Paul not only said, Take heed, lest there be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in the part of the living God, what he said, exhort one another, listen, everybody, exhort one another daily, while it is called today. Oh, how we neglect our duty. And we neglect our salvation when we neglect our duty. Now, who did Paul address when he said, exhort one another? He said, brethren. And every man and woman in the church is to look out after every other man and woman in the church. Because Paul said, no man liveth to himself. No woman liveth to herself. We can't live a selfish life and be saved. And so go back to the text. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. The will of God is something like this. A man has property to give away. He makes a will. Names that an executor. He places in that will the conditions upon which the one that inherits the property is to receive the property. And to obtain that property, every condition contained in the will must be faithfully complied with. And the man gives the property on these conditions. Well, God gives us salvation on certain conditions. That is salvation from past sin. The conditions are faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. And if I commit sin through weakness, and I have, if I forget myself, and sometimes I do, and do wrong, the work is not the remedy. No, no, that's not the remedy. All the work that I could do would not secure the forgiveness of sin. But I must repent of that sin, confess it, and pray. Now let's make a note and remember that when we commit sin, that we must repent of that sin, that we must confess that sin to God, and that we must pray God for forgiveness in order to be forgiven. Now that's God's will concerning salvation from sin to the man in the church. And God would save a man out of the church without baptism, as quickly would save a man or woman in the church without prayer. Now, James said, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another that you may be healed. Now, that's God's will concerning this. Then John said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In 1 John 1 and 9. And then Peter said to a man with sin after being baptized, he said, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God. If perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. And you remember night before last the text was, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that he cannot save. Nothing wrong, but God's hand or arm. Neither is the ear heavy that cannot hear. My hearing is very bad, but there's nothing wrong with the hearing of God. But he said, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, so that he will not hear. Now, we ought to remember that. And then in John 9 and 31, the blind man is told the truth. We know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Then a man must worship God and do God's will if God hears his prayer. Now, let's not forget that. I'm just as sure as I'm sure I'm standing on my feet. If some doctor should come to me tonight and tell me that I had to die tonight, that I'd pray, but wouldn't do any good. If I have not done God's will, if I haven't lived right, it'll do no good, and I would love to drive home that terrible fact, that truth. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, may enter through the gates into the city. And I do not hesitate to say there's more promise to the praying man than anything else in the Bible. Now listen and see if that's true. In Matthew 21 and 22, all things therefore whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. I wish you would see just how far reaching that is. And then we turn again to Matthew 26 and 41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. And then again in Luke 18 and 1, he spake a parable to them to this end, they ought always to pray and not to faint. And then again in Luke 21 and 36, watch and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. But you notice he said, watch and pray always. I'm to watch my eyes and not be guilty of a lustful look. I'm to watch my tongue, not be guilty of blaspheming, lying, and things like that. I must watch my ears and listen to the right things. I must watch this body and keep it in subjection and under control of God's will. I must watch my friend, my fellow man, lest they lead me astray and cause me to do wrong. And I'm to watch the Word of God, keep my eyes upon it all the time, that I may do what it says. But now you notice what he said, watch and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. Oh, go and read Luke 21 and see what's to happen sometime. There Christ promised we'd escape all these things if we would watch and pray always. And then I go into the letters to the Christian. In Romans, he said, continue instant in prayer. The Revised Version said, steadfast in prayer. Did you pray today? Did you pray yesterday? Did you pray last night? Do you intend to pray now? Christ said in Luke 18 and 11, shall not God avenge his own elect that cry to him day and night? Then the man that God listens to is the man that prays day and night, the man that prays without ceasing, the man that watches and prays. And then in Philippians is a wonderful statement. He said, in nothing be anxious, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ the Lord. Then I read in James, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if we have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. And I turn back to the Old Testament, the 19th chapter of 2 Kings, Hezekiah was sick unto death. God sent Isaiah to him and said, go and tell Hezekiah, the prince of my people, he must die and not live. Isaiah came and told him, and listen now how he prayed. And I wonder how many of us could pray that kind of a prayer. He didn't say the number I prayed. He had been careless and indifferent, like a great many of us would have to do. He didn't say the number I've neglected Bible study. I've neglected the Lord's Supper. I've neglected to give. I've had men tell me that, ask me to pray for them. But he said, remember, I pray thee how I have walked before thee in truth, with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. I have another case in the 12th chapter of 1 Samuel, where David, my friend, destroyed a home, made adultery, killed a man. And after that, his child sick and sick, and lay upon the earth 7 days and 7 nights, and fasted and prayed and wept, and the child died. And when Nathan came to him, told him he had sinned, he confessed his sin, and God said, I've put the sin away. That teaches us the importance of our doing what God said. Then when we come down to the New Testament, we find that even Christ himself prayed, asked something contrary to God's will, and was not granted. And you and I ought to learn the conditions from which God proposes and promises, answer our prayers, and comply with them. And then we know that every time we pray, that God will listen to us. And if it's best for us not to have what we ask for, he'll withhold it. If best, he'll give. No doubt about that. So the thing for us to learn is what we must do. Well, James said, let him ask in faith. Christ asked in faith, but he didn't receive. Paul asked in faith to learn from the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians 3 times that the thorn might be removed from the flesh, but he did not receive because it was not God's will. Then another thing, Christ said, if you abide in me, if my words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done to you. And multiplied thousands of people have prayed to God out of the church, out of Christ, have been made to believe they were saved when they were not saved. Because he said, if you abide in me, listen, if my words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done of you. Then if my prayers are heard, I must be in Christ, and his word must be in my heart, must govern and control my words, my actions, my conduct and conversation. And then again, John said, whatsoever you ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do the things pleasing in his sight. Christ kept his commandments, God's commandments. Did a thing pleading in his heart, but did not receive what he asked for. Why? Because of another condition. Paul kept the commandments of God, did a thing pleading in his heart. He asked and did not receive. Why? Because another condition must be complied with. John said, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Now listen, he doeth according to his will. In the army of heaven, and among him heavens to the earth. Daniel 4:35. Then in Ephesians 1:3, having predestinated us in doctrine, children to himself, according to Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will. And then again in Hebrews 10:10, took away the first that he might establish the second, by which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Colossians 4:12, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Then in Ephesians 1:11, he worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now I want to beg you, in view of that fact, that you begin at once. Read the New Testament and study it as you have never studied before. You're not going to heaven because you want to go. You can't go if you don't want to go. You're certain not to go if you don't want to go. But you can't go without doing God's will. And God's will is not difficult. Christ said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And the thing that's strange about that to me is, I've been carrying that burden and wearing that yoke for nearly 60 years, and the peculiar thing about it is, that the longer I carry that burden, the lighter it becomes. And the easier that yoke becomes. That's the good part about that. And John said in 1 John 5:2, this the love of God, that you keep his commandments. And his commandments are not great. Why, the man out of the church is commanded to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one thing. He's commanded to repent and be baptized. That's two more. That makes three. That is all that God requires a man to do. Obey the command to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent and be baptized. And when a man obeys these three commands, God saves that man, forgives his sin, adds him to the church. The blood cleanses him. He's a child of God. And the child of God that's guilty of sin, when he makes up his mind to live right, repents of that sin, confess it, ask God to forgive him, is forgiven. And then the man that does God's will each day of his life has the promise that when he prays, he'll be heard. He has the promise of every spiritual blessing. He has the promise of all temporal needs. Yes, and he has the promise of longer life, too. And he has the promise of heaven and the promise of eternal life. If you are here tonight and out of the church, you ought to enter the church. No salvation outside of the church. And the sad part about it is, there's only salvation in one church. That's the sad part about it. There is one body, and we are reconciled to God in one body. And they're all baptized into one body. So if you want to be saved, if you believe in Christ, if you repent of your sins and be baptized into that one body, you'll be saved from all past sins. If you learn and do the will of God concerning Christian men and women, then heaven will be your home, and eternal life will be your reward. Won't you come tonight while we stand together and sing the song selected and start for heaven and for eternal life? God loves you. He wants to save you.